forgot the car keys.
Well, I've always found that cars work better with the ignition switched on.
I'm sure I left them in here somewhere. How's your leg this morning?
Much the same as it was yesterday morning. Or afternoon, for that matter.
I'm sure I left them in here because it's quite a long way from the supermarket doors to the car park. You would think they'd have an entrance or an exit at the back.
Or even both. Oh, I can't help my leg. Can I short it?
Of course you can't, my old darling. Sorry. Something not present and correct, Adela?
I've lost the car keys, and I'm sure they're here somewhere.
Oh, I thought I spied them this morning.
How a bad leg can prevent you from carrying anything is a mystery to me.
Yes, it's something of a mystery to me as well. I could, of course, come...
Oh! Are you in pain?
Nasty twinge. I think it's... Good Lord, I was sitting on these.
Well, they weren't there a minute ago. I looked on that chair.
Couldn't have looked hard enough.
I'll come to the supermarket, Adela.
No, but please, Shorty, I'd rather you stayed here.
Adela, you're still here.
Is she really? Good Lord.
I meant to ask you to bring a little fishy-wishy for Pussycat.
Well, you did ask me, dear.
Oh, yes, I know. What I meant was, could it possibly be whiting? She so adores whiting.
Of course, my dear. They usually do have whiting sometimes, if they've been very busy.
Then in that case, you must bring what you can. She knows you always do your best, and it's all such a treaty-weety for her. Shorty.
Yeah?
When you were dusting my room yesterday, did you by any chance knock over a little china horsey? Poor wee thing has lost its tail.
Oh, I'm sorry, Marigold. No guilty as charged.
Oh. Well, I suppose it might have been Pussycat. Oh, my darling, Pussycat.
Private Trottle.
Sir?
You're losing your touch. When you served me, one flick of your hand would have destroyed the whole damn menagerie.
That's very unfair, Bernard. Marigold's husband gave her that collection. It's of great sentimental value to her.
Pity she's not the same to us.
Well, she is to me. I really must be off. You'll look in and see George, won't you?
What about?
I've done his ablutions.
You know very well. Just see him.
Just seeing him would hold few enough attractions. Talking to him, which is what you mean, holds fewer still. As far as being talked to by him...
He's your brother-in-law. He's had a stroke. He has nobody else. You must
realize...
He's
got that bloody dog.
We all realize that. Or even Bernard, when he's not playing silly buggers. Now, you go off to the shop, sort it, Phil. Go on.
What time will you be back?
Well, as soon as I've been to the supermarket and the cleaners and...
What time will you be back?
At what o'clock the Brigadier meets?
About 12, I hope.
12:30-ish.
You know, I sometimes wonder why your sister puts up with you.
I suppose the poor old thing still hopes I come to love him. After all, nobody else ever has.
Yeah. Oh, it'd all be up the proverbial creek without a paddle if she wasn't here to run this bloody lot.
We've managed before.
Many moons ago, Bernard.
Well, 40 years in hospital catering must give a woman some qualifications. Hardly manifold, but some.
May I ask, Brigadier, is your rear-end complaint playing up today?
Not more than usual, I'm delighted to say.
And shall we do, George?
It's only kind uncle, Bernard, kind uncle Shorty. Hello, George.
Mr. Pastry, do be quiet. I say, you fellas seen this? Mikhailovich, Yugoslavia, 1942.
No.
Oh, it's absolute nonsense. It says he was a... Mikhailovich was a... you know, with Hitler. Shake hands, Sieg Heil. Rubbish. As soon as the Germans came, Mikhailovich went up into the... you know, high up, sea, far, tough-going fountains. The trouble was that his chaps only had old-fashioned, you know, put one thing in at a time. Could only shoot people once at a time. The Germans, they had thousands of pop, 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 pop. They rode about on damn great. They'd get in from the top. Tell me, what chance did Mikhailovich have? The man was all sang his praises, but Tito, oh, he was in league with Moscow all the time. He was hiss and poisonous. And then when the war was finally won, poor old Mikhailovich was shot. It was Tito that got the pin them on the breast. They covered him with gold and silver and medals. They covered him with medals.
Nominal asphyxia.
What?
Your complaint. It's in the paper the other day. Somebody else had it. The inability to remember the names of common objects.
Oh, I knew that. They covered him with medals. The British, the Americans, the Russians.
Well, then, George. Is it the day for the chair?
Oh, that'll be pleasant.
Shorty?
Message received and understood. So, come and join us. Come and join us. Come and join Fred Conno's army.
Mid-European history was my field, you know. I know all the facts.
You profs need to exercise your brains. You're to write a book, Joe.
I was working on one. Do you think I'll be able to get it together again?
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. You get going tomorrow. Now, if you're settled, I think...
It's about the crisis. Czechoslovakia, 38-39. We lived through that, of course. Vera and I, did she ever tell you that?
No. I can't say she did. We weren't married very long, you know. Well, George...
Ever hear from your boy? Ever hear from Stanley?
No.
Well, I wondered... coming. Holly, Ivy, sending Mary...
Well, best get on with another day.
Most pools I've met were so delicate.
Telephone, Bernard.
Yes, Marigold, that is the telephone.
Well, aren't you going to answer it?
It would not be to me.
Hello. Lower Barton 7-1. Trevor, darling, how are you? Oh, I'm frightfully well. Trevor, that's wonderful. And Keith? And Rachel and the Kiddiwiddies, have you heard from them? Oh, Trevor, I'm thrilled. We'll all be so thrilled. The whole house will be thrilled. Yes, of course, Trevor. Now, both of you take carey wary. Goodbye, dearest. Goodbye. They're all coming to Christmas dinner. My lovely, lovely grandchildren, the Kiddiwiddies. Don't you think that's marvelous?
You know what I think, Margot? I heard you tell them. Thrilled. I was thrilled last year and the year before.
You might have the common courtesy to wait until I was out of the room.
I might well, yes, but I had no wish to interrupt your conversation with Trevor Webber, and the pressure became impossible to withstand.
You ought to see a doctor.
I have done so, and it baffles him. On Monday next, he's sending me to a specialist.
From making water what a train is standing stationary at the platform. A buzz flying.
Darling, rather a silly thing happened today.
What do you tell me about it?
purpose. Lying underneath.
It's only a silly little thingle-pingle, but it has been sort of bothering me.
Tell me.
Will you remember that letter I mentioned from Emily Rouse?
Oh, yes. Very sad. Oh, poor Emily. And she was such an active girl at school, wasn't she? Of course, I think you should be very cheered by the way she's improved, because people can make...
It isn't that. Will you kindly let me say what I have to say?
I'm sorry, dear.
Well, I came across that letter this morning for the first time. At least I thought it was the first time. It seemed like the first time. But it was dated 12 days ago, and it was out of its envelope. So I must have read it and forgotten about it. It was all new to me.
Well, I shouldn't worry, dear. Now, things slip my mind all the time. Look at the way I forgot to pay the telephone bill, and we were all cut off for 3 days.
That's just forgetfulness, Adela. This is senility. I can't stand the thought of ending up a vegetable.
Honestly, a lapse of memory over a letter that's hardly being a vegetable. Now, you must
People
keep a sense of proportion.
People don't turn into vegetables overnight. It's a gradual process, and it has to start somewhere. And what about the fish?
Fish?
I thought I hadn't asked you to get the fish. Bernard and Shorty, they both saw that. If I'm becoming a vegetable, I couldn't bear for them to see it happen to me, especially Bernard. I couldn't bear that.
My dear, there's truly nothing to see. Of course, at our age, we can't expect things to be just as they were.
Oh, of course, we can't expect not to fall apart at the seams. How frightful. Clever of you to have thought of that. Well, all I can say is tunkalunks.
Marigold, what happened? You all right?
Yeah. What happened? Are you hurt?
I trod on something.
Nothing wrong, I hope.
No, nasty toss you took. Mr. Pastry's flaming balls.
They're damned off.
Are you sure you're all right, dear?
He's old and disgusting and he ought to be put down.
He means a lot to George.
I'm afraid your old hound isn't what you might call at the peak popularity just now. According to Marigold, he ought to be put down.
You know Marigold. She exaggerates.
Well, I was only telling you what she told me. Mind you, I don't suppose Shorty's exactly mad about it. Does give him extra work, after all.
How do you feel yourself?
Oh, I don't really... Well, I probably shouldn't have mentioned it.
And why did you?
I suppose I wanted to give her the chance of preparing a defense, so to speak, in case the animal loses his steam any further.
I see. Thank you.
Well, Christmas Eve tomorrow. Better be getting on. See you later, George.
He wants you put down.
Kept him in, decided they had to operate straight away or something.
Listen, Adela, bad news travels fast. Any question of that, we'd have heard hours. What?
Listen. You said you'd phone. I was going to pick you up.
Got a taxi.
How did it go, Bernard?
Oh, yes. How did it go?
Clean bill of health.
Good show, Brigadier.
Furthermore...
My dear... Well, I'm so glad.
Furthermore, the excellent Mr. Brown, John the specialist, said he saw no reason why I shouldn't start drinking again in reasonable quantities. He seemed to think it would be positively beneficial, something to do with the circulation.
He of the Brown, John, has spoken great words of wisdom and good cheer. What do you fancy, Bernard?
I'd like some gin. With about the same,
amount of water and nothing else.
I remember.
Well, so you found the place all right. Silly thing to say.
I went straight to it without any trouble.
You're a different man already, Bernard.
Yes, I think perhaps I am.
You must be frightfully relieved.
I suppose I am.
One London, dry gin and water, sir.
What are you on for Christmas, old chap?
My grandfather's Christmas breakfast. That was the real occasion. There was game and herrings, troutle, poutle, great farm eggs and fresh baked bread and gallons of home-brewed beer. Literally hundreds of people used to come. I remember one Christmas. I could only have been about 10 or 11. The bishop came, and he was not very fond of the rector. He was a great big fellow, the bishop. Do you know what he did?
As a matter of fact, I do. He got so pissed, he saddled up the poor bloody rector, rode him round the dining room, belting him with his riding crop. He told us the story last night, Marigold.
Vera loved Christmas. She looked forward to it for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Vera hated Christmas. She couldn't abide it.
Oh, I can't believe that, Bernard. Your wife was a Czech. Good King Wenceslas was a Czech. George was only telling me the other day that all Czechs love Christmas.
Vera may have been Czech or Hottentot, but on the single occasion she discussed Christmas with me, and that for about 30 seconds in all, she said the whole thing bored her stiff. An incident Christmas is natural in children and something like to be pitied when old people have it. But in anyone else, it's a sign of gullibility and credulity, she said.
I think I shall have to find somewhere else to go, make other arrangements.
But why?
Well, why do you think? Such a pity he's gone back to what he was before he saw that specialist. He's just as offensive and intolerable as he ever was.
Yeah, but you can't do that now. You can't possibly leave. Where would you go?
Oh, I have one or two ideas.
Yes, but breaking everything up just because Bernard's sarcastic sometimes. No, you mustn't take it so seriously. I'll speak to him. He's not completely unreasonable. I'm sure he'll see how painful
it is. It's not just Bernard. It's a dreadful dog, too, and a disgusting squirt Chortel.
Who makes you bleed in beds, dust your bleeding furniture, washes up your bleeding dishes?
Shorty, you mean? Well, I know he's drunk and an uncle.
Far very muchly, I'm sure.
I couldn't possibly run the house without him. It's, you mean, it's definite. Is it, dear?
I haven't decided yet.
I see.
That's right. Keep her hanging. You haven't decided yet. In the meantime, you can sweat it out. Up your arsehole, parcel, Goldie.
But she can't go. She mustn't. So could you possibly try? After all, it's not a lot to ask. Just not snubbing her so much. You don't have to put yourself out. It's not as though you're still worried about your health. You've no real excuse.
True. I know I'm a brute with words sometimes. It's like a habit one falls into. So it shows I can get out of it, too. I promise you I will try to stop.
Thank you, my dear. It's wonderful of you to take it like that.
Well, I must be going. I've got to collect the pensions. There are such queues at the post office these days. So many...
is too bad. I suppose one can't blame the creature, but it's hardly as if it's a puppy, is it? Hmm? I'm afraid it looks as if he'll have to...
Who's it from?
Well, how should I know?
Well, it's addressed to you.
What?
What made you think it was for me?
Hmm? Oh, I just assumed. See... There was one for you, and I...
Did you get the dog to chew it up, thinking it was mine?
What nonsense. Who on earth would do an absurd thing like that?
An absurd man like you.
I'm dreaming of...
dreaming of...
Gotta go.
Why
Christmas...
squirted by that siphon.
What on earth's going on?
I wouldn't do a thing like that. I was taking this as a sitting room.
He's squirting postcards.
You did.
No, for tomorrow. I was taking this for tomorrow. For God's sake.
Are you mad?
If you think I go around squirting cats, as you just gone mad.
You're just like birds.
I say, what's happening?
It's easy to see that you're a pair.
Now, you better be careful, Marigold, or you'll find yourself...
Are you threatening me?
What's happening?
My liver, I'm sure you don't care for that.
Please. It's Christmas.
Before last, it was underdone. Had to put it back for 20 minutes. In at 8:15. Do if she went.
It's not such a bad place to end up.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas, Shorty.
Adela, my darling, I can feel it in my water. This Christmas is going to be a cracker.
I say, Bernard! Coming! I say, Bernard, what is this frightful stink? Oh, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, John. Oh, no idea.
Could you open the see-through? As wide as it'll go. Oh. Absolutely awful. What can it be?
Well, the only thing I can think of, I did notice Marigold going into the bottle.
You don't mean it. Oh, surely not. Surely no human.
She has been under the doctor.
Good Lord. Poor Marigold. You'd imagine you were decomposing. Must worry her stiff.
Yes, I should think it must.
God, blimey, O'Reilly.
Merry Christmas, Marigold.
Oh. And a very Merry Christmas, Bernard.
And you, Marigold.
Oh, I think it's going to be a very happy one. My lovely, wobbly grandchildren and the kiddie willies, they'll all be here soon. I can't tell you how I'm looking forward to it. I opened the bathroom window just now and there was a rather unpleasant pongle-wongle. Could you get Shorty to look at the drain?
Right.
Ah. Drains. Drains.
Bloody Christmas. Sounds like someone straining on the bog.
Merry Christmas, Goldie. Keith and Rachel not here?
Oh, I don't suppose they'll be long. I told them to drive very carefully for the kiddie when he's safe.
Oh, I spoke to Mother this morning. Sent her love. Says it's 90 degrees in Sydney.
Poor girl, how very uncomfortable. Gee, Goldie!
Merry Christmas, Adela.
Merry Christmas.
Bernard, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Heather.
And to you, Shorty.
Same to you, Trip. Great big knobs on.
Merry Christmas. Christmas.
We thought you were marvellous at that Strindberg thing.
Thank you.
We all sat up and watched it, didn't we? You were marvellous.
Yes.
How's George?
George?
Professor George Zaya. This address.
He's in bed. He can't move much. Well, at all. Not really. No.
Well, let's get him downstairs. For Christmas.
Oh, downstairs?
Oh, no.
Good idea,
Trev.
It'd be fantastic.
Oh,
no, no. Absolutely out of the question.
No idea what this means.
Drop him.
No idea what this means.
We should have thought of this before.
Really there? Look out!
To chase her, you know, Kathy. One. Look at it. Hey, this Christmas. The babe was in the garden, hanging out the
horse. Oh, come with us, adore. Oh, come with us, adore.
Oh, come with us, friend.
I suppose one of them might piss on the floor or puke all over the other one.
Look, everyone. Look what George has given to me.
Don't be a bit of fun. I believe actresses like a bit of fun.
Yes, George, it is. It's such fun. Oh. This man that you're doing the advertisements for, Keith. Now, what is it that he actually makes?
He makes pet food.
Pet food?
Just what Toots has ordered.
Did you say pet food?
Yes, pet food. Bowsy Wowsy and Mew Mew. But for cats and dogs, respectively. Then, of course, there's a stuff that they call chirrup.
That's for budgies.
Budgies.
Budgerigar, small cage bird.
I know,
very popular with
writing paper. Your most kind, Mary.
Oh, you're most welcome, Bernard. Do try and keep them away from the dog. I'm sure he'd prefer a dish of Bowsy Wowsy.
He may or may not. I speak as one who's never sampled Bowsy Wowsy.
Oh, I have, Bernard. It's rather good.
You tasted Bowsy Wowsy?
Oh, Bernard! A dictionary!
Dog food?
Oh, yes. Yes. You see, we have tasting sessions. You see, it must be fit for human consumption.
Must it? But why?
Well, because otherwise a lot of people wouldn't feed it to their dogs.
No doubt.
But, Keith, what kind of people would eat it? I mean, actually for a meal. I mean,
well, I suppose the blackle cackles might.
Good heavens, what have we here? Oh, Adela, thank you. That's splendid.
They said they'd change it if it's not to your taste.
I wouldn't dream of it. It's absolutely...
It's very, very nice.
Good, good, good. So, this advertisement that you're doing for Bowsy Wowsy,
oh, are they going to put it on television?
If the marketing director wants.
Tom Archley, Brigadier. Hint taken, and we'll be responded to.
And he likes it. He'll put it on television, and you will be successful.
That's it.
Now, Trevor, I mean, Keith, you're to telephone me as soon as you know the result. I insist on being told straight away.
Marigold.
Remind me to phone Colonel Gaddafi as well. He left a note straight away.
It's nonstick.
Oh, is that what it is?
Adela runs the whole show here, you know. She does a marvellous job. Oh, Noah, all I
do. Oh, yes, you do. And she pampers me in the most outrageous way, and I don't deserve it in the least little bit. She won't even let me lift a finger to help her, will you, darling? Mind you, I'm such a noodle poodle. I couldn't be trusted to boil an egg.
For she's a jolly good fellow. For she's a jolly good fellow. For she's a jolly good fellow. And so say all of us. And so say all of us. And so say all of us. For she's a jolly good fellow. For she's a jolly good fellow.
Puke,
one of you.
Pissed yet?
I'm getting there as fast as I can.
You know, this is the last time I do this.
So you always say around about now.
You'll be here next time.
Yeah, because none of her other bloody relatives will come anywhere near her. And when it's all over, I think, what a bloody good chap I am.
Instead of what a shit you were for not coming.
Yeah, they got us there.
We'll be just the same when we get to their age.
Oh, no, we won't. Horrible, yes. Boring, sure. Boring on that scale? Never.
I'd like to have a tape of what they were saying about their grandparents 40 years ago.
Would you? Tape of Brigadier Bernard? Was he ever a brigadier?
I think he just made it to Major before they caught him with Shorty and suggested he resign. Do you think he's still at it?
And Bernard? Nah. Must have been incapable for donkeys yet. Come on, better face it. Right, off sharp at 10, Trev. 8 hours to go. Unless, of course, one of them checks out over turkey and put.
Two or three of them check out.
Cheers, everybody. Merry Christmas.
You are going to sit there, drink brandy and liqueurs, and the four of us are going to wash up, all right?
Oh, no, Keith, I couldn't possibly...
No arguing, all decided beforehand.
Is there somewhere the children can have a little sleep? They've had such a wonderful time, they're exhausted.
They're bloody exhausted.
I'm in my room.
Oh, my God! Just look at this!
Take a choice. This... for another half hour in there with that lot.
Well, don't know about the rest of you, but I've had the finest Christmas present that I could possibly wish for.
Oh, what's that, George? Coming downstairs?
Oh, yes, that. But as well as that, let me put it this way. I've been given... a bottle of aftershave lotion, a pullover, a pair of socks, a potted plant to stick on my bedside table, a pair of slippers. Well, several other kind gifts that I could name. Well, what does that suggest to you?
You've had a lot of nice presents.
Oh, yes, of course. Hasn't anybody noticed anything?
Let's have it, George.
I know what they're called. I could put a name to them. I didn't know what they were called before because of my stroke. The doctor said that it might right itself, and it has. Perhaps it was the shock of coming downstairs. You've no idea how marvellous it feels. I don't mind being half paralysed now, except, of course, it's a nuisance for other people. The gift of language is a very precious thing. It's what differentiates us from the animal kingdom.
Which means that in the future, you'll be able to bore us all even more efficiently than in the past.
If you'll pardon the intrusion, Bernard, I don't think that's very funny.
Since when have we been expected to regard you as an authority on what is and what is not funny?
Since never, Bernard. I probably know nothing at all about that, but perhaps I do know a bit about what is and what is not a nice thing to say. Good taste is what it used to be called.
Oh, so now you're an authority on good taste. I must say I find that an equally remarkable concept. What other treasures of authoritiveness have you in your store, eh? What clothes to wear? How to stay sober?
Yeah, I say, you fellow.
Please, both of you, don't be like that. It is Christmas after all.
Is it? Well, I knew there must be some explanation.
I think if you'll... excuse me, Marigold, Adler, George, I'll take myself to my chaise couch there to enjoy a spell of blanket bashing of indefinite duration.
Oh, don't go, Shorty. Have another drop of port or brandy.
Oh, thank you, George, but I fear that might prove unwise. In the language of the Hun... au revoir.
I hope I didn't offend you by what I said just now.
Bernard, you couldn't offend me today if you tried. I know you were joking.
My sense of humor isn't all that poor. You know, old chap, the course of history has so often been altered by the possession or the lack of a sense of humor. Take the Congress of Paris, 1856, for example. The weather was awful. The palace was drafty in the extreme. But Napoleon III took great offense when the British and Austrian delegations complained to the French about the cold.
I've come to a decision about my future. You remember when we were eating? Trevor was talking about Christmas 5 years ago, that Christmas just before Frank died. And he was talking about Frank and what he did and what he said. How he used to make us laugh. I couldn't remember any of it. I can hardly remember him. My husband. He's been dead less than 5 years and I've almost completely forgotten him. Oh, I have photographs of applause, but the places where we've lived together and the sort of clothes he wore and the sound of his voice, it's nearly all gone. I've loved him for 48 years and if I forget him altogether, it'll be as if all that was taken away from me. I couldn't bear that. I just couldn't. Does that mean you... You knew him, Adela. Even Shorty and Bernard have met him. So long as I'm with you, we can talk about him. He won't be completely obliterated. No, I shall stay. I shan't leave here.
You had a go.
Even if it means you all have to watch me go senile.
My dear, you're no more senile than the rest of us.
If only he'd had a sense of humor, the Russian Revolution might never have taken place. A sense of humor is more precious than pearls or rubies or any number of motor cars or luxury yachts or private aeroplanes or castles. You can eat your food off a silver plate with a pearl-handled knife.
Forgive me, George. I really must relieve myself.
To some extent.
Well, I've got to get the children's tea. They've just woken up and they'll soon get hungry at their age. Funny smell, isn't it?
Really? I've noticed anything.
I don't think one of the animals...
Very likely.
I want to. I want to play.
I thought you were supposed to be having tea.
We'll walkies first, then we'll all come back and eat it round the fire and have a lovely time.
What have you got in your hand? Smells funny.
It's nothing. Can you kindly allow me to...
It smells like you know
when... Be quiet, you two, and let Uncle Billy get hard.
It smells like you know when you...
Oh, stop it. Be quiet, you two, and let Uncle Billy get hard. Stop it.
It's special medicine for my bad leg.
Stop it.
Now, will you please excuse me?
Stop it.
intrusion, surely?
I think that's pretty funny.
Now, this will be terrific fun. On these slips of paper here, I put down meanings of the word. Just a one-line meaning. And it's up to you to enlarge on that.
Nemo. Nemo is an Arab sweetmeat or dessert made of dates, coriander seeds, peppermint rose petals, and gum tragacanth. And decorated with the feathers of the bulbul or eastern nightingale.
Rubbish. To start with, it's a Nemo. A Nemo is a pompous old windbag, head over heels in love with the sound of his own voice, and consumed with the desire to show off his fund of trivial and boring information.
Good.
Now then, Adela. Adela.
Mm-hmm.
What's your definition?
Nemo. Nemo. Nemo is just to name verb to name.
It's obvious. It's Adela. She's reading it from the card.
No, not necessarily. See, she could have been bluffing. That's why the game's called Call My Bluff.
She's not bluffing. She's reading it.
Could be a clever double bluff.
Oh, thing like that would never occur to her.
Well, I say it's George.
And I say Bernard.
And the teller of the correct definition was...
I told you so, you noodle poodles.
No, that's just 1 point for Goldie's team. Right.
Was who? This here, then.
Oh, it's me, your turn.
Will you shut up? I'm trying to organise the game.
I don't know, you're supposed to make something up.
Oh, it's 4-2.
Of the whole game.
Than the whitewash on a wall. Hawaii. Than the whitewash on a wall. You can wash me in the water that you washed your dirty daughter. And I shall be whiter than the whitewash on the wall. Cheers.
A spronk is a man who hates everybody and whose only pleasure in life is to be sarcastic to people to try and make them as unhappy as he is. And he's a very lazy man, too. Named after his admirer Spronk in a book by Charles Dickens.
Well, that's very interesting. Now, who do you think... Hello, Shorty.
Do you know?
Come and join us, bud.
Good God. He's so bloody far gone, he doesn't even turn a hair when he's missed himself.
Sweet as a rose. That's a Benedictine tune. Oh, that sounds a many good ideas. You carry on. I'll just reconnoitre until I learn the drill. Have a seat, Shorty. Right, Shorty, you're a gentleman.
Come on. And next.
Keith, should we play something else? I think it's getting a bit, you know, sort of dull.
No. We'd have one more.
Good.
So, the last word is... Jimp. J-I-M-P. Jimp.
I've never heard of it.
That's the whole point of the game, Shorty. Bernard will give us his meaning of jimp.
To jimp is to behave in an exaggeratedly theatrical way, in order to conceal the fact that absolutely nothing is going on inside one's head. Or, tentatively, to jimp somebody is to make him or her do everything for one while patronizing or humiliating him or her.
Shorty! Adela!
Marigold!
Goldie, all right.
All right, you'll head under the fire!
Here.
Oh.
Right, just slowly get back to the
chest. Master breathing salt.
I think she's fainting.
Touch smelling salt.
Get her some water.
Get him some water!
Get the water!
Get the doctor!
At least that's the end of bloody Christmas.
Marigold, Dr. Mainwaring.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Pike.
Good afternoon, Doctor. How good of you to call.
I'm sorry I couldn't make it until today. We've had all the usual Christmas holiday disasters, I'm afraid.
Oh, I quite understand, Doctor. I do feel rather a cheetle-peetle. We all know the problems of the poor national health. Thank you for showing in the doctor, Shorty.
Perhaps I could see you before I leave, Mr. Shortell.
Oh, no matter with me, Doc, bar I know Domino. There's not much anybody can do about that.
All the same, while I'm here, I would like to see you.
Well, you're the doc.
Thank you, Shorty.
Diagnosed this snobby old bitch. Suggested treatment. Kick up the arse.
Miss Barnstable told me something about a fainting attack. How long had you been unconscious?
Oh, well, to be perfectly honest with you, Doctor, I don't know that I was ever what you would call unconscious. I'd had much more to eat and drink than an old lady like myself should have done. I think I had a sort of a fit of dizziness.
I see. Mm. Had you experienced such attacks before?
Oh, I think attacks is rather overstating the case. Miss Barstable is making a mantle pantle out of a molehill.
Well, she thought it was necessary to call me out. Would you bear an arm, please? I'd like to take your blood pressure.
Oh, dear. I feel awful putting you to so much trouble.
No trouble, Mrs. Pike.
I'm sure it is.
And Miss Barstable, how is she keeping?
Oh, she's fine. She never complains. Adela is as strong as an ox. Do you know that she did Christmas almost entirely by herself? And there were 11 of us round the table. My lovely, lovely grandchildren and both of their wives and my great-grandchildren. I can't believe I have great-grandchildren. Good. I was married very young.
I'm sorry if you think I was wrong to call you out, Doctor.
I didn't say you were wrong. Now, to come to yourself, how's the chest behaving? Any increase in pain? Any unusual discomfort?
No, not really. I'm strong as a horse.
I'm glad to hear it. But don't forget what I said.
No, I won't, thank you. Now, I hope you'll have time to look in on Professor Zaire. I think you'll find a great change in him.
Window, frame, catch, pane, curtains, glass.
Yes, that's excellent.
But drawer, dressing gown, cord, lamp, switch, plug.
Professor, one word of warning. You must not exert yourself too much, either mentally or physically. I'm very impressed by your progress, but
there is a danger of another stroke.
No more than for any other person with your medical history, if you follow my advice and take it easy.
I understand. One can't help but be thrilled at regaining the ability to name things. Chair, cushion, carpet, shoes, trousers, jacket, shirt, tie, chin, nose.
A bottle a day, I think that's what you said.
Yes, Doctor. No more than a bottle a day.
And not spirits.
Oh, no. Oh, no. It's a kind of wine.
Well, the liver is a little enlarged, but no more than it was. If you stick to one bottle of wine a day and eat plenty of fish and chicken, you should be all right. Bowel's working okay?
Oh, yeah. Well and truly, the old Venus is that.
Sit down, Doctor. Any change, Mr. Barstable?
Nothing dramatic. I seem to be passing more blood.
What about the pain?
I can stand it at the moment.
You're sure you don't want surgery?
Brown John put my chances at less than 5%. That's good enough for me.
You wouldn't like a second opinion?
He said I've got 3 months. According to you, he's one of the very best in London. Having seen him, I accept that view. So no second opinion, thank you.
Mr. Bastable, when this phase looks like coming to an end, I'd be grateful if you'd warn me in good time to get you into hospital. I may not be able to get you a bed immediately.
A week?
Yes, that would be about right.
Very well. Thank you, Dr. Mannering.
Goodbye, Mr. Bastable.
And thanks for dropping in.
I'll see myself out.
To bed.
But Bernard, it's still half an hour before midnight. We said we'd see in the new year with George.
Not tonight, I'm afraid. I'm going to bed.
But Shorty's gone to bed.
Rather wise, I thought, considering what he'd already drunk.
That only leaves Marigold and me.
And George. I'm sure I can leave it in your capable hands to see that the new year comes in safely. I'm afraid I've got a bit of a headache.
Oh, dear. Shall I get you some paracetamol?
I have some tablets in my room, thank you. Good night.
Good night, Bernard. And a very happy new year.
Yes, a very happy new year, Bernard.
And to you both. Good night.
Do hope he's not sickening for the flu.
Oh, I shouldn't think so. Probably just a little heady-weady. But then, as I well know, nothing could be worse.
Oh, yes, you poor dear.
In a few minutes' time, it'll be 1990. I'm finding the years sounding more and more odd. 1990 sounds like something out of one of those comics, with death rays and robots and monsters of outer space. But the year I was born sounds like stagecoaches and highwaymen, crinolines and fans. And,
I know what you mean.
Oh, you feel the same way, do you?
No, but I know what you mean.
You know, I think that this next year is going to work out quite well. Don't you?
Oh, we shall carry on very much as before.
Yes.
Quick, the wireless. It's nearly time for Big Ben.
Bloody old misery guts. Good job some of us have got a bit of backbone.
Here. Steady there in the rear rank. This is where you show them what you are made of. You are not here for your health. You are not here to have a good time. You are here to take it. Make
silly me. Thank you, Bernard.
When will you be back? In case anyone comes or anything.
Well, as soon as they've finished with the car, I'll make for home. Yes.
Sounds logical. When will you be back?
Well, they've got to change the oil and see to the tires.
For the love of God, when will you be back?
Oh, honestly. About six, I should think.
6:30-ish. Don't forget the telegraph.
I won't.
Third already. Here, Bernard, didn't you use some kind of liquid cement stuff that gummed your guts up? I mean, I don't hold with messing about with your insides as a rule, but I'm getting a bit, you know.
Right, top left-hand drawer. Green leather case, two bottles. You want the white stuff. That's the cement. Don't touch the other. It's a very powerful aperient. You'll probably explode. Remember now the white.
Right, the white. What sort of dose?
I should say a tablespoonful to start with and see how it is in 3 or 4 hours.
Oh, Phil, thanks.
You're not here to have a good time. Make the best of it while you can.
Oh, you look out, you lot. The big chief. Big to beloved. White man, him see him. Wait.
Down the trinkle-pinkle. I do wish Trevor would phone.
Any particular reason why he should?
I mean, Keith. They're having that meeting today, you know, the one to decide about the pet food advertisement. He promised he'd telephone me the moment he'd heard the result.
I'm sure he will.
Of course, he might not get the result until this afternoon, or even early evening. But I know he will phone as soon as he does.
I must admit, I rather hope those vandals don't take it into their heads to pay us a visit.
Vandals?
Yeah. The ones who were smashing up places in the village. You were telling me about it. When was it? Yesterday.
Was I? Oh, those people. Little swine. Still, we're a long way out.
Could cut both ways. No neighbours.
If we stand up to them, they'll just cut and run. Bullies are always cowards. Everyone knows that.
Don't worry about Keith telephoning this afternoon. While you're asleep, I mean. If he does ring up, I'll knock on your door.
How very kind.
Thank you.
Oh, he is a naughty man. Promised he'd wait for the telephone. Well, you listen for it, darling, while I pop upstairs. A present for one of that pair.
Anything. Get out.
Well, forgot.